Welcome back to the Adequate Horrors Podcast, where we review horror movies and horror franchises. I'm Mark.
I'm Tawan.
And today we're watching Annabelle Comes Home, released in 2019, directed by Gary Doberman, and story by James Wan and Gary Doberman. Tawan, can you give the people the plot summary?
Determined to keep Annabelle from wreaking more havoc, paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren lock the possessed doll in the artifacts room in their house. But when the doll awakens the room's evil spirits, it soon becomes an unholy night of terror for the couple's 10-year-old daughter, her friends, and their young babysitter.
Now, I wasn't here for the Annabelle Creations podcast, but as I stated in the Annabelle podcast, the Annabelle Comes Home was the only, up until the review, this review series, Annabelle Comes Home was the only Annabelle movie that I had seen. So from that perspective, I enjoyed this movie because, I mean, the only reason I watched it is because Ed and Lorraine was in it. And I watched all of the Ed and Lorraine movies that heavily featured them. And it was also going to give us our first glimpse of Judy and her own story. So, like, looking back, I enjoyed this movie. And then I rewatched it for this review, and I realized that, like, one, the movie isn't about the Warrens. Not even about Judy. Judy is there. The movie is about this random chick that we just met in this movie. And then two, is just to give us hints about other potential possible Conjuring Universe spinoffs. And just like Annabelle was a conduit for all these spirits, this movie is just a fucking conduit for all potential spinoffs that may or may not come later. So I don't know why this is an Annabelle movie, but it just wasn't given. But what about you, Tuan? What are your thoughts on Annabelle Comes Home?
Yeah, I did see this movie in theaters. Actually, I think I saw it at a free screening before it came out, if I recall. And when I saw it then, I thought it was pretty mediocre. Like, I was wondering why it was called Annabelle Comes Home, because while, yes, Annabelle came to the Warren house, everything else in the movie was just kind of, like Mark kind of said, it really was just like possible setups for other spinoffs they could do within, like, the universe. And it really felt like they were just pulling shit out of thin air to kind of throw at us in here. And, like, I hate it because, like, the concept sounds good on paper. And I think if the cast was bigger, and let's say, like, Judy actually had a party at her house and everything started happening then, it could have been more interesting than what we got here with just the couple of characters who were in this movie. Like, I think it would have been a little better if...
The way you read my mind, the way that, because they kept talking about Judy's birthday, Judy's party, Judy, 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 Judy. So I thought it was going to lead to, like, some big third act with people just showing up at Judy's party like Bob did, and the spirits going fucking crazy, and then people were dying. Which is, this movie highlights one of my biggest issues with this franchise. No one fucking dies. It's a bunch of scares, possession, but no one really dies. And that annoys me, but my bad, go ahead.
See, I feel like they probably, in order to at least make it better for people to die. Judy would have had to at least been in high school, since nobody cares about killing teenagers. But she's like, I don't know, like 12 or 13. So I guess, you know, there's that little line for studios there when it comes to kids and horror movies. But if she was a little older and the Blood rest of them were just her friends.
They had Michael Myers kill that 13-year-old dance queen.
Yeah, it's Michael Myers, though. That was rated R. But, yeah, if it was just a little, like, if I feel like if, like, that little change could have made it so much better in the movie, though, just having, because I feel like there would have been more to come from it. It really would have felt like a haunted house experience, because I feel like that's what they were going for. It's like they were going for, like, us watching a haunted house experience, and not in the way of, like, you know, the first two Conjuring movies where a spirit is attacking a family. It's like they have all these trinkets and things that they could go off of to kind of give a setup for this, you know, plot and everything, and just random things that they could go off of. But it just doesn't come together for the movie. It really just feels, you know, like we're seeing what the next nun or the next possible Annabelle is going to be. And it doesn't really land at all. And it doesn't feel like Annabelle. Like, I guess the only thing you could say Annabelle did was free the rest of the demons. But I mean, the girl did that by going in the room and touching everything. So, yeah, I don't know. It was weird. On paper, it sounds cool. In concept and process and all that, yeah, it didn't really stick.
Yeah, I get that. It just, I don't know. And for this to be what we're thinking is the ending of Annabelle trilogy, like, she got the shot. Like, how is this the third movie in Annabelle franchise, but it's not about Annabelle? Not about anything to do. Like, were there any themes that stood out to you, Juan? Good, bad, or indifferent?
I think I think one scene that I did like, because out of everything that they showed, it was the coolest to me, and that was the, like, TV that could tell a couple seconds or into the future. I don't know why, that just was kind of cool to me, even though it's, like, such a simple concept, but, like, just watching something happen to you that's going to happen in the next couple of seconds, and you can't, and, like, there's a possibility that you can't stop it. It's crazy. So I thought that was, like, pretty cool, and I like that as a concept. Outside of that, though, a lot of other stuff in this was kind of derivative of some other things, like how they used the bride and did that kind of one shot that they did twice. This is the third time they did this now, where they had, like, the figure or the shadow, like, on, like, the either the outside of the room or using the shadow to, like, paint them on the wall, kind of, and then they come in the frame. It's like the third time they did that, because they did it in The Conjuring 2 and they did it in The Nun, both of those times with Alec, and it literally looked no different here. Except, you know, the spirit came running after Judy this time. Anything else, though? I'm trying to think, because I know there was another scene that I didn't like, but I can't recall. But I guess I will give another one I did like, kind of, which was the when, I forget which friend it was. I think it was Mary. Or no, it was Daniela. It was when she had the bride's dress on and Judy played the footage of Ed and Lorraine doing the exorcism, and I made the I guess the dress or the spirit of the bride, like, leave her body because the exorcism was happening. I don't know why. And it's always me finding, like, the weirdest stuff funny. I found that kind of funny because I'm like, damn, like, she did all this to bring her dad back or, like, talk to her dad. Now she's getting the whole exorcism done. Like, it was just funny. It was a little funny to me.
For me, the scene where she finds the keys made me so mad. I'm like, Ed, you hid the keys behind a picture of Jesus? Or be fucking for real, Ed. And then, like, nobody's suspicious as to why Daniela, I mean, I get Daniela and Mary Lou, whatever the hell her name was, are friends. But, like, you haven't ever talked to this girl before. Why are you up at my house?
What, like, when you talk about Daniela, like, just pulling up?
Yeah. And then, you know, I love Michael. And when I see him on the screen in any project.
Oh, yeah. I think this was the first thing that I saw him in, and I immediately looked at him on Instagram after this.
Yes. But I don't understand why this character is here.
Yeah.
And it's not even Judy's actual... I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is Judy's. He's going to end up being with Judy at some point in the future or whatever. But no. No. Not even close. Judy don't meet her husband until college in real life. So I'm trying to understand, like, why this character is here. But were there any other scenes or moments that stood out to you? Any of the moments?
I think that was it. I guess since we're here and like this movie is different from the rest of them, we could kind of give what was like your favorite spirit or thing that came up from it.
Hey, in that case, that the samurai warrior one.
Yes,
that's a movie I want to see. Give me that movie.
For real, I wanted it. Like, as soon as I saw that one, I was like, whatever that's about, I need to know, because that looks cool as shit. I love Shogun, like, all that samurai shit. Like, give me that in a horror movie, I will pull up Warner Bros. So that, I did also think that was cool. Aside from that one, like I mentioned, the TV.
But it needs to be in Japan. It needs to be in Japan. Like,
yeah, we'll need a La Llorona.
Yeah, don't do that. Like, and but also don't give me.
It'll get to what? You.
No, I'm like, but give me Japan, but don't give me Wolverine. Wolverine 2 Japan. You know what I mean?
What do you mean? It was still Japan.
Yeah, but it wasn't given. You know, it was.
No, it was, that movie they, was given.
No, it wasn't. I just rewatched that movie recently, and I'm just like, girl. No. And it's insignificant to the whole fucking trilogy. Whatever. But what were you going to say?
No, I was going to say, at least if it's not in Japan, give it a reason. Unlike La Llorona, where she's just in L.A., like, you could just say that the damn thing was being shipped over for, like, a museum or something. Like, I don't know. It's not going to get made anyway. But, you or know, they could come up with a reason.
If not in Japan, put it in... like a Koreatown, a Chinatown, or like Japanese town type of situation. We got those in Chicago, got those in pretty much every big city in the country. There's like a little Asian neighborhood that you can set that in. Which is what they should have did with La Llorona.
They just thought putting her in LA was enough. But, I think out of everything, the weirdest thing for me was the feely mealy. That was so weird. First of all, why would you even want to play that game? That's so nasty. That sounds so nasty to me. Put your hand in a box and feel what you think you're feeling. Like, tell me what you think you're feeling. Like, ew, I'm good.
That's how people was getting pregnant, because what the fuck is this? That was dick in the box.
That shit was nasty as hell.
But I guess we can move on. Well, since we already changed in our
recording. Right.
It wasn't?
It was an actual, like, board game.
What the hell?
It was in like the '60s. Because I did have to, look it up before, like earlier. Because I remember looking it up when I first saw this movie, and I was like, "No way, that's a real thing!" And it was like a real board game in like the '60s.
And all them old ass people so conservative now, but they were doing some freaky deaky shit back in their youth. Like, you gotta be shitting me. Well, let's move on and talk about some of the characters. Let's talk about Bob again. I didn't understand why Bob was there. He was nice to look at, but why was Bob there? What are your thoughts on Bob?
Yeah, I agree. Like, it really was no reason for Bob to be there. Honestly, he was really only there to get them out of the house to give us some scares with the, like, the werewolf, like, demon or whatever, or what they call him, the Black Shuck. That was, like, the only reason for them to come outside. And if Bob hadn't been there, they probably wouldn't have really left the house. So that gave that gave like that whole thing to be able to happen. But with his character gone, that, like, it really serves no purpose, which his character also served no purpose because he didn't do anything. He played the little guitar and was cute.
Yeah, I agree, but let's move on to Mary Lou. Was that her name? Am I saying that right? Was
it Mary Ellen?
Jesus Christ, Mary Ellen. Well, I just felt like, yeah, she was there, and she had her whole, like, side love with Bob, but I feel like her character was just the thing that got Daniela to the Warren house. That was her main purpose. She was connecting the dots between Daniela and the Warren. But other than that, she didn't really have any more uses. What do you think?
I'll at least give her grace in that she was... I mean, yes, she didn't... I will say, like, she didn't have, like, a use once things started going down. But she definitely had more of a reason to be there than Daniela or Bob just because she was the babysitter. And that's like the only like reason that she had to be there. So not saying it was an obligation because it was like it was a job for her. So, you know, she definitely had reason to be there. But as far as like plot wise, not really. But, you know, I don't even know if I can give like the characters like fault for the plot because like the plot really is just survive until Ed and Lorraine get back. And that's really all there is. The plot is really no plot if we're being honest. Like, they're really just stuck in the house with everything. So given with what we got and like how they made everything go down, she wasn't the worst.
I wanna talk about Judy Daniela, but I just want to, because I'm stuck on like what we said earlier, is that like this movie would be so much better. Like, we didn't have to have all these different character arcs, but like the ending should have, the third act should have been the party, and the people should have been dying. Like, yes, you don't want to kill anybody, you know, but they not Judy's age. Bob, Daniela, and Mary Ellen. So if they had to come over their age, like it could have. I don't know.
That's why I said if Judy was aged up, and we just turned Mary Ellen and Daniela into her like friends or classmates, mm-hmm. and instead of doing the whole babysitter thing, it would have probably come across a little bit better. But because timeline wise.
This movie
feels like anime filler content.
Yep, like three episodes we could definitely skip. But
yeah,
what are your thoughts? on Daniela. Because I think she, like, girl, I get it. I really do. And I feel sorry for you. You know, you get all this remorse. You want to talk to your dad. You want to apologize. Could you blame yourself? I 100% get it. But you know these fucking things are dangerous. You went in there believing the stories about Ed Marine. And you still went in there and touched shit? You still just said, fuck it, I'm going to go open some shit and see what happens. I'm going to talk to him no matter what. Putting everybody's lives in danger, including yours. Like, wouldn't that give you more guilt than the guilt you already had, bitch? Well, that's just me.
I would believe so. No, like, I would definitely believe so. And like you said, I give Danielle's, like, character some grace. Because, like, I know that's traumatic as shit to be the cause of one of your parents' deaths. Like, has to be insane amounts of guilt after that. So it's warranted. Somebody would want a way to connect, talk to them, whatever. But she didn't even, if she really wanted to do it that bad, instead of doing her method, all she had to do was just ask Judy, could she talk to her parents? Which I don't think was ever brought up. I think she just, like, wanted to go into the room and try to do it herself. Which also is like, girl, you don't even know what's in there. Like, how would you know what was going to be the thing that you needed to talk to your father or something like that? Like, you don't even know what's in there. Even if, you know, everything was true, all this shit could be fake. All that stuff in that room could have been for fake. You think it is about to help you or something. Like, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're dealing with. If you are so believable in, you know, this afterlife spirits and everything, why are you going and messing with shit that you know demonologists have exercised out, like, and their possible, like, spirits attached to these things? So it was not a very smart decision, but I still do give the character grace because of the situation that happened to her. But yeah, I feel like it definitely could have been resolved a different way. Or she could have had like a conversation with Ed and Lorraine and seeing if she believes that much, she could have see if they could talk to her father for her.
And even more, that brings up why there should have been a party. Because there's some shit. Let's say the movie plays out the way it did, but there's a party. When it all boils down to it, they wouldn't know who actually set the fucking shit out. Like, you was the only, like, you're the only non, you're the only factor here that doesn't belong. You're not here to babysit. You're not here to try to get this girl. You just showed the fuck up. So you were prime suspect number 1, 2, and 3. But if you showed up with a bunch of people unannounced, it could have been anybody. Hell, she could have pulled the, oh, let's go in this room and hook up. And then went in there and started texting shit because she had an agenda. But this movie didn't think about those type of things, and it pisses me off. Yep. I just think, like, yeah, I get her motivations. But it was reckless, and you literally put more lives in danger over your guilt of accidentally causing your dad's death. So if someone would have died, like your friend, her love interest, Judy, you would have had more guilt than you went in there with, which would have defeated the whole purpose.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on Judy? And it's a whole new Judy. This isn't even Judy from last movie. And ain't Judy for the next movie.
And before I even get to that, I would have told Daniela, I would have said Daniela's character should have went to therapy, but it was like the 70s, and I don't think they was doing it, but they weren't doing it like that. But,
they were locked out crazy ass stuff.
But as far as Judy's character go, I don't lie, they did the right thing with switching because McKenna Grace is a good child actress. Like, she's a really good child actress, and she be selling the fuck out of these roles. I can't even lie to you.
I've been a fan of McKenna Grace, you know, for a long time.
She be selling these roles at her young age.
She was one of my favorite of the three actresses who played one of my favorite soap operas, The Young and the Restless. That's Homegirl is a soap star. All right, she was on that from 2013 to 2016. She got credits.
She was really good in the movie I, Tonya, where she played the young Tonya Harding. That was so funny. But I think I like Judy's character in here, and that it's the word I'm looking for. It's not like so far out of the realm of possibility that Judy's character would be able to, you know, kind of do the same stuff as her parents, especially Lorraine, because I'm not gonna say we kind of saw, like, the only thing that we know, she experienced a lot, now that I'm thinking about it. if we go back to The Conjuring 1, she had an experience then, and then also that experience in The Conjuring 2, seeing Valak, so she actually had her little fair share of seeing some shit. So, it's funny how jaded she kind of was at seeing some of this stuff, like when she was seeing the priest at her school, like the ghost priest or whatever, were just walking around, or like when she saw a bride in the house, and she really wasn't like scared. She was like, even though like she did get scared, but like she wasn't like scared in the way that you would expect like a kid in a horror movie to be. And she was kind of putting the situation together better than the rest of them, which, I mean, She was the Ed and Lorraine conduits, I guess, for the movie, being their child. So she was really the only one who would have known what to do. But it was just funny seeing her having to be the one kind of take charge when she's like being babysat.
Yeah, I did like the actor switch, because I know they did it because this one's set before The Conjuring 2. So the actress who was playing her originally, and who also comes back for the third one, wasn't the right age anymore. She was older. So they had to go back to get a younger actress. And again, I like when they movies do this, when they make it generational. Because they already set it up, so why not use it? I just wish they did it better. Like, this could have been Judy's story. But it wasn't Judy's story. Judy was just there. And that kind of hurts it for me. This should have been Judy's time to shine. Yeah, she had her moments. She definitely saved the day. But it wasn't Judy's movie. And it was barely Ed and Lorraine's movie. What are your thoughts on the glimpses we saw of Ed and Lorraine?
I'd do it too for a check. Because, I mean, it's an easy check. They like, they really pulled up at the beginning and the end of the movie for they like 2 minutes of screen time. It was like, we go get our check and bounce. And I love that for Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga.
They was like, yeah, we just here, you know, so we can get money and negotiate for the third Conjuring. That's all we here for. We didn't really want to be on that set. But I'm glad they showed up. Because it was definitely a welcome. I mean, again, that's why I watched this movie. I watched this movie because I knew that Patrick and Vera were going to be in it. Like, that was the main draw for me. I'm like, yeah, it's an Annabelle movie. I fucking hate dolls. But Ed and Lorraine are in it. So the movie I thought I was going to go see didn't turn out to be, but I was excited because they were in it. So, but Tuan, we have come to the part where we talk about the spirits. Now, we talked about the spirits in the room. What about the spirits we actually saw, like the wolf and the ones that were attacking people? Did any of them stand out for you?
Not really. I really wasn't impressed by much of anything in here, to be quite honest with you. I was more impressed by the stuff that we didn't really get descriptions for or see all the way, like, honestly, the samurai.
Same.
Like, the ferryman, I didn't find that scary. The bride thing, I don't know, it was like, it was just giving, like, another, like, the nun or, like, Annabelle in the first movie. The werewolf, I don't know, that wasn't scary to me. Like, nothing was really hitting like it should have.
No, they weren't. Like, I don't know. See, I gotta blame. See, James Wan in that first Conjuring set up two spinoff characters, and we barely even saw them. We saw Annabelle, what, in the opening minutes of the movie? We saw her. We saw a couple glimpses and visions of Alec, and it was perfect. It made us want more. But this guy who's taken over as lead director of the franchise, he's not doing it for me. It's like the ones you didn't show that you slightly teased are more interesting than the ones you actually put on display. It should have been the opposite. But he don't know what he's doing.
No, I agree, because I'm not really a fan of where we're going. And mm-mm. It especially shows for me when we see Conjuring 3.
And you see, this is the first time that we've done a review where every movie that I came into the review liking, my opinion has drastically changed. And that's usually you. You're usually like, oh, I remember liking this movie. And then we cut to, you know what? This movie not good. But that's usually you, not me. And of the movies I saw, Conjuring 2 and Annabelle Comes Home and La Llorona, and the jury's still out for me on The Conjuring 3. But so far, I've only stuck to liking The Conjuring 2 because that one's fucking amazing. So I don't know. And this guy, he's not doing it for me. I wish they could have got the guy who did Annabelle Comes Home. Wish they could have did anything they could to get him. Yeah, Creation, because like why we couldn't get him to come home? Because what the fuck is this?
I think he was too busy filming Shazam.
Woodchuck. Okay. Well, enough about all that, Tuan. What? Wait, let me redo that. Enough about all that. Tuan, can you give us the behind-the-scenes info and facts?
Yes, I can. So the budget of Annabelle Comes Home was in the ballpark of $27 to $32 million. The movie brought in a box office of $231.3 million. The film is dedicated to Lorraine Warren, portrayed in movies by Vera Farmiga, who passed away 2 months before the film's release. Two crew members were nominated. Lee Butler was nominated in the Best Costume Line category at the 2019 Fright Meter Awards. The Ferryman is based on the Greek mythological deity of the same name that ferries souls from across the river Styx to the underworld. Told with specific golden coins, the coins also predominantly feature as an artifact in the Warren's house that summon the ferryman. An entity. The samurai armor that features in the Warren Occult Museum is based on Japanese mythology's demonic warrior, the Oni, marking along with the Spirit Man, the second cultural mythological entity appearing in a movie. The character of Anthony Rios was created as a proxy for Judy's real-life husband, Tony Spira. While she and Spira didn't actually meet until adulthood, Gary Doberman asked their permission to create the childhood bully character to potentially serve as a romantic interest for Judy if the series continues to follow her characters as they grow up. This marks the first time the Warrens are featured in a film without the Conjuring title. Some critics' reactions. The film currently sits at a 64% on Rotten Tomatoes. From fans on IMDb, one fan writes, "This is quite disappointing. What is this? I can't believe how this can be so bad. The first two movies were great, but in this movie, everything just seems messed up a bit. Story isn't compelling either. Scare jumps, which I usually look for, are also missing. I felt quite bored and wanted to drop it." Another fan writes, "They missed the mark on this one. I'm a fan of The Conjuring and one of the other Annabelle movies, but this one was disappointing. The acting was fine, but the story was weak and the ending was horrible. At least they kept the time period feeling. I expected more from the series."
I agree with that. But
period.
But do we cash or pass Annabelle Comes Home? Tuan?
Yeah, this is another one of those that I would be passing. I generally feel like I do with so many other movies that we watch that if we weren't doing this show, I probably would not have come back to watch this one. And I definitely feel that way about Annabelle Comes Home. It was just very, it was very mediocre. It felt like, this movie felt like going into a real life haunted house that wasn't scary and you pay money for it, so now you're kind of shitty. I feel like that's the best way to put it, 'cause what it felt like we were going for was like a haunted house with a lot of stuff going on, but nothing stuck, and now, you know, you watched it and wasted your time. And I feel like that's the worst thing a movie can feel like, is having your time wasted. At least if something wasn't good, but you were intrigued a bit, like you have something to talk about. But with this movie, I wasn't intrigued. I was a little bored. And the only thing that really saved it was kind of the acting. But everything else did not land.
And for me, unfortunately, it's a pass, because what I've been saying about majority of these movies that in this franchise is that they have the makings of a good story that could be great, that could be compelling, that could be like scary, but they don't execute it right. They I don't know. It misses so much, and I just want to pass on it. I don't want to watch it, because I can't. Like, I don't want to sit through this, and I wouldn't want anyone else to sit through this, so it's a pass. It's a pass. But hopefully next week, it won't be a pass. Join us as we review The Conjuring 3, The Devil Made Me Do It. Good night.
If you like this episode, please check out the Haddonfield Horror Podcast from big series like Friday the 13th, Halloween, and Saw, or our one-off reviews like The Blackening and Hereditary. You can follow Haddonfield Horrors on Instagram and TikTok, where the hosts post updates and mini-reviews. Full episodes are available on several podcasting platforms and YouTube. If you're listening to us on YouTube, please like and subscribe. The Haddonfield Horror Podcast is produced by Mark Smart,
Maria Perez,
Juan Griffin, and Elian Cordova. Themed by Lethal Injection and edited by Mark Smart.
The Haddonfield Horrors Podcast is a Letters 2 Media production.
Should we do an intro?